So whatever has filled your life will flow from it. Whatever has filled your life will flow from it. If you run into me during the week out in Billings or here at the church, you can pretty much tell what kind of a day I've had by the expression on my face, or whether I have a skip in my step, or whether I look like I've been stressed out, maybe I'm carrying something heavy. You know, I don't have to say words to you, you can just see it written on my face. It spills out of me in my words, my actions, my behavior. And maybe you're there too. Maybe you have a long day and you get home and everyone around you can tell exactly what kind of a day you had. They don't even have to hear a word out of your lips. It's written on your face. So maybe it comes out in your behavior, like things that usually wouldn't irritate you really bother you for some reason. Or maybe you lack the patience. You have very little patience for those you say you love. Or maybe you come home and it's all you can do is just to escape from the day you just had, and you find yourself doom scrolling on social media or other entertainment on your phone, or you play video games for hours on end, or you watch Netflix until it gives you that message, "Are you seriously still watching?" Yes, I'm still watching. Quit judging me, Netflix, right? So maybe you've been there too, and it sounds like you have. And Jesus actually addresses this same concept. Whatever we have allowed to fill our life flows from it. When he's asked a question about what is the most important law, he couples what fills your life, the love of God, with what spills out of our life, love for your neighbor. So what you fill your life with will flow from it. The question is this: what comes out of your life when people bump into you? That's the question we're going to look at today together. So again, if you're new with Faithy, I want to do a special welcome for you. I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad that God brought you through our doors. And I'm Matt. I'm one of the teaching pastors here at Faithy. I help direct discipleship as well. And one of the things that we're all about here, you'll hear over and over again, it's just graphic behind me. This is our vision statement, our mission statement, is to become fully surrendered disciples who love God, love others, and share Jesus. That's what we're all about here at Faithy, and that's what we want for each and every one of you, and to have that spill out of your life. And we're also taking the time to introduce two new values each week. We're actually pushing pause in our study of Mark. We're stopping here in chapter 12 around what they call the greatest commandment. And it's Jesus' answer to a very important question we're going to look at here in a little bit. But we looked at it last week, and we unpacked two of our values last week. Pastor Paul did a great job unpacking the first two: deeply biblical and always praying. And here, we value being deeply biblical because we believe that we all need more truth that doesn't change. Who's here is hungry for more truth that doesn't change? I don't know if you're like me, but I am tired of all of the cliche advice that I hear on social media. I'm tired of fake news on both sides of the aisle. I'm tired that there's such thing as fact checkers. I'm tired of AI-generated content, trying to decide if it's real, let alone true. I need to be drawn back to truth that doesn't change. We need to be deeply biblical here at Faithy. And if that's our foundation, then prayer is our fuel. And so we are want to be always praying through the highs and lows, the good, the bad, the ugly. We want to bring that to God in prayer. I like to call prayer my quiet act of defiance against self-reliance. See, prayer is where I remember who's in charge of my life, and it's not me. So when I go to prayer, I remember where all good gifts come from. It's nothing that I did. I remember that he has the power to give and the power to take away and the power to heal, both spiritually and physically. Jesus is the only one who can change anyone, and there's a reason why that's out there on the wall. He's the only one who has the power to transform us within. And when you couple those two things together, deeply biblical and always praying, you better watch out. And we got to experience that a bit in our services last week as we prayed to scripture together. And we're going to do that a bit more today, a little bit later in the service. So last week was primarily about how we love God. And this week we're going to introduce two more values that are keying in on the concept of loving others, real faith, and find your people. So today we're going to be in Mark chapter 12 again. So if you would you pull out your Bibles or your scripture journals? or the Bible in the seat back in front of you. If you're using that black Bible under the seats, it's page 871. And if you don't have a Bible of your own, I'd encourage you to take that home with you. Consider it our gift to you. The page 871 there, I'm going to reread a part of the passage from last week that we covered, and I'm going to be starting in chapter 12 at the end of verse 28, where we see this question posed by who is likely a Pharisee, who is just absolutely tickled pink by the answer that Jesus had given the Sadducees in the verses right before this. And so he then is encouraged to ask his own question. So he says, the most of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There's no commandment greater than these. And as Pastor Paul talked about last week, the Pharisees actually spent a lot of time looking at the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. It's called the Pentateuch. It's called the Law of Moses. All these things are the first five books of our Bible. And they looked through there and they've discovered, they kind of found 613 different laws, things that they should do and things that they thought they shouldn't do. I just thought it was interesting. That's quite a jump from the Ten Commandments to 613. So 365 negative laws, things that you don't do, and 248 positive laws, things that you had better do. So a negative law for every day of the year and a positive law for every limb in your body is the Jewish tradition at the time. And how they counted those limbs, there's a little bit uncertainty around that. But what is clear is it's expressing the same sentiment that we are to obey God with all of our body, with all that we are. And Jesus expresses the same sentiment here in chapter 12 when he answers, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, with all that you are, love the Lord your God. Jesus says this is the most important commandment. And as we talked about last week, rabbis would sit around and they would talk about which were the most important commandments. This is very common. And they'd refer to them by their weight. So the heavy hitters were the most important laws, and the lightweight ones were the laws that weren't as important. But the way each teacher summarized the law is what set them apart from one another. In fact, they would call the way that they summarized the law the teacher's yoke. And the teacher's yoke is how they summarized the law, which laws they thought carried the most weight, and how the disciples were to live them out. And Jesus summarized all of the yokes, all of the laws with one word: love. Love God and love your neighbor. This is Jesus' yoke. Matthew says it this way when he records Jesus saying, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I'll give you rest. All you have to do is take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So I don't know about you, but most weeks when I come in here, I need more rest for my soul. Maybe you resonate with that this morning. I didn't invite you. I give you permission today to take the yoke of Jesus upon your shoulders and to sit exactly where you are and experience the love of God. Some of you just need to let that reality sink into your bones this morning. That the God who put the entire world in motion, he holds it all together and he knit you together in your mother's womb. And he knows every hair on your head, and I realize that's easier for him for some of us than it is for some of you. But he knows every hair on your head and he knows every thought in your head, and he loves you. He loves you. Some of you need permission just to sit and rest in the love of God this morning. To let that reality sink into you that God loves you and let it transform your life. And that's what real faith looks like. So just like each rabbi had a yoke, you could think of our six core values that we're rolling out. You could think of that as our yoke here at Faith E. They're our way of living out the great commandment and the great commission in our day and in our way. And as I mentioned earlier last week, we looked at the vertical relationship, love God. And this week we're going to look at the horizontal relationships. loving others. Because Jesus doesn't just stop with loving God. He goes on to say, love your neighbor as yourself. Real faith is vertical, but it's also radically horizontal. Real faith is radically horizontal. And we've defined our faith value, our real faith value like this. Real faith. It's faith that isn't fake. It's faith where real people have real stories and they experience real transformation. See, we want you to be able to come in here with whatever kind of a week you just had, whether it was a great week or a bad week, and sit and experience Jesus' yoke every week when you come in these doors. We want you to own that week. And we all have stories that we're walking in here with, pasts that we're often not very proud of. And I want to tell you today that God wants to write a better story in your life this morning. He wants to use your past and redeem it to write a better future. If you're not dead, he's not done. I want you to know that you might not be where you want to be, but you're not where you used to be, and God can use that. So close that chapter and allow God to begin a new one, maybe for the first time this morning. See, scripture says that love covers over a multitude of sins, many sins. So let the radical love of God, right where you're at, cover over a multitude of sins in your life. So Peter says it this way, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Love doesn't dismiss sin, it doesn't excuse sin, it doesn't turn a blind eye to it, but it does cause us to seek forgiveness, reconciliation, and healing. You know, it should radically reframe our response to sin and should cause us to extend that same forgiveness that we're experiencing for the Father to the people around us. Because we've all been hit by shrapnel of sin exploding in other people's lives. And we need to allow the love of God to allow us to forgive them, to motivate us toward forgiveness and motivate us to love them. That's what being a disciple of Jesus looks like. So we need to respond to sin in our own lives with confession and repentance and let God's love cover it. And that love we experience from God should cause us to respond with love to others. So maybe it's time to let God cover that sin. Scripture says we love because he first loved us. We sang about that earlier. We heard that earlier. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. That leaves very little wiggle room or room for debate. We love because he first loved us, and that love must cause us to love others. I'd even go one step further and say, if your faith isn't changing the way you love other people, it's not real faith. It's fake. Your faith should motivate and change the way you love others. Real faith is radically horizontal. We aren't just asked to love people we like or people we love or people that we can tolerate. No, scripture says it gets really radical. It says, pray for those who hate you. Pray for your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. That's a radical move. The world can actually get behind loving people you like. The Bible is unique in that it's called to love people who are hard to love. Real faith loves people who are hard to love. So Jesus' two-part response is bound together with love. Love your God, love your neighbor. And your neighbor, by the way, is anyone that God puts in front of you. So that could be sitting in traffic, the people around you. That's your neighbor. Could be the people in your home. Those are your neighbors. Could be the people on either side of your house. Those are certainly your neighbors. It's anyone who God puts in your path. That's your neighbor. And I find the concept of loving my neighbor as a general principle really easy to get behind. But it's a lot harder to practice when it comes to certain neighbors in particular. So maybe it's like your literal neighbor and they play their music too loud. They're really annoying. Maybe they throw parties late at night in their backyard. Or maybe they have guests that park in front of your driveway. And maybe they do the yard work without their shirt on, except for it looks like they're still wearing a shirt. It's just a hairy, sweaty one. You've seen my neighbor too, right? Yeah. Or maybe it's an annoying coworker who has no concept of personal space and they get 3 to 6 inches away from you at all times just to say hi and have a conversation. And you can tell exactly what they had for breakfast, for lunch, and dinner the night before. And you keep backing up and they keep leaning in. You keep backing up, they keep leaning in. You use big hand gestures to try to create space and they just lean in even more. It's like a magnet. And I like to be this annoying coworker for Pastor Steve. So if Pastor Steve's sitting in a meeting and nobody else is in the room and there's like 8 chairs, I pick the one right next to him and I get awkwardly close to him. And he always fidgets. And he acts like he doesn't like it, but I know better. So Pastor Steve, I don't know if you don't know who he is. He was our lead pastor here at Faith E for like a bajillion years. And he's now the coaching pastor, which for everybody who's on the team, whenever we encounter a problem that we don't know the answer for, Pastor Steve, we just ask him and he goes, here's 10 ways to think about that. And here's 6 that definitely didn't work. Don't do those. Here's 3 that will kind of work. And here's 1 that's pure gold. And so as pastors, it's great because we get to skip through all of that trial and error and just get to the pure gold part. So thank you, Pastor Steve. You make everyone here on the team better. So thank you. And this past week, I was having a conversation with a pastor from another church out at the table in the lobby. And there was kind of a hustle and bustle around the lobby. There was people around. And Pastor Steve comes up, and he knew both of us, of course. And he comes up, and he gives the one guy a fist bump. And I get up to give him a hug. And I've never seen Pastor Steve move so fast in my life. He was like halfway across the lobby, and I just yelled after him, "Why won't you let me love you?" And the entire lobby turns and looks at him. And that literally happened. I was asked after first service, "Did that happen?" Yeah, it happened on Wednesday. So, yeah. Or maybe that person who you find hard to love is somebody who you just don't take the time to slow down to actually see. So maybe it's somebody who you kind of try to avoid making eye contact with as you walk by. You're too busy to be bothered to stop and engage with them. Maybe you're missing the people who Jesus has put in your path to make an impact with. You're missing your neighbor right in front of you. Love walks slowly through the crowd. As Christians, we are supposed to walk at a speed and at a pace where we can engage with the neighbor in front of us. Scripture is clear. Love God. Love your neighbor. And I'll be honest, my pitcher isn't always full of God's love. That's not always what's ready to spill out when people are going to bump into me. Sometimes it's full of exhaustion or irritation or just me. I walk around full of myself instead of full of God's love. And maybe you resonate with that. Maybe it's time for you to ask God to fill your cup again. See, loving people isn't about being polite or making friends or expanding your network. It's for those who believe heaven is real and hell is real and that love makes the difference. Love makes the difference. Eternity is at stake. The way we treat our neighbor today can be the difference that God uses to make to reach them tomorrow. In fact, David Platt said it this way. It's really great. Every saved person this side of heaven owes the gospel to every lost person this side of hell. Every saved person this side of heaven owes the gospel to every lost person this side of hell. I was reminded this week that I'm responsible, you're responsible, we're responsible for what spills out of our life when we encounter our neighbors. And we need to respond to people who are hard to love with the radical love of God. And spoiler alert, we were all hard to love. And yet God loved us while we were still sinners. While we were still enemies of God, he died for us. You see, real faith doesn't just run vertical, it runs radically horizontal. And if we're going to live that out in reality and make it more than just a theory, we can't just grit our teeth and just try really hard. We need to be filled with the love of God so that that love spills out of us into the lives of those around us. Whether they're easy to love, whether they're hard to love, whoever our neighbor is, they're met with the radical love of God. That's the only way to live that out. And so we're going to take some time right in the service to pray scripture, just like we did last week. We're going to take some time to pray scripture together. I'm going to give you three short passages. I'm going to talk a little bit just with God in prayer, what's on my heart. Some of that will probably resonate with your heart. I'd invite you to pray your own prayer to God. And then I'll leave it silent for a few moments, just for you and God to do some business together. So we're going to read three passages, and we're going to fill our cups right here by praying scripture together. So if you would you take a posture of prayer right now, whatever that looks like for you. So the first passage is talking about God's love for us. 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. Think about those words. We love because he first loved us. Before you took a step to him, he took a step towards you. He loved you at your worst. Some of you need to sit with the yoke of love on your shoulders this morning. Take off the yoke of condemnation and guilt and shame and exchange it for a yoke of love. God loves you. Not because of anything you've done, but because of what he did. Not because of who you are, but because of whose you are. Just thank him for loving you even when you were at your worst. Thank you for drawing me to you. God, thank you for leaving the 99 to draw the one. It's incredible. And the second verse is from 1 Peter 4:8. It's talking about the love flowing out of our lives. So above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Love each other deeply because it covers over many sins. God, I pray that you would give us a love that covers over sin. That the same love that you use to forgive us, we use that to forgive others. Even if they're hard to love, even if they're actively hating us when we do it. It's not our love. It's your love being engaged through our lives. God, give us more of that love. Overflow it out of our lives into the lives of those around us, and especially those moments when it's hard to do so. We pray that you would give us the power to do that. Maybe think of a person that you've been holding an offense against. Maybe they're hard to love and you've been avoiding them. Ask God to help you forgive them. Ask God to help you blot out the record of wrong you've been keeping in their ledger, just like he blotted out yours. You have been forgiven so much. The appropriate response is to now forgive. So ask God for the power to help you forgive maybe the unforgivable. And then the third verse that we're going to look at is when love becomes action. And that's from 1 John 3:18. And he says, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. Again, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. Father God, this reminds me that our love isn't just to be lip service. This has to become more than just a theory for each and every one of our lives. We have to be so radically impacted by your love that it drives us to action. Compassion is worthless unless it moves you to come alongside the other person. God, move us to action. Move us to come alongside people who are hard to love. Maybe it's that neighbor or any neighbor that you put in our pathway, God. Pray you just bring one concrete action, a small action of love that we can do this week to show them your love for them. Father God, I'm so grateful that your love, man, you reached out to me before I knew to reach out for you. Thank you for drawing each one of us to you. Thank you for not letting our stories end in despair, but in living hope. God, thank you for writing a new chapter in our lives. Thank you for loving us and filling us with your love. And let that love pour out of our lives now to our neighbors and whoever you put around us. And we need your power to do it, so we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The kind of love we just prayed for, it starts with God. It motivates us to forgive others, and it allows the love to flow out of our lives into theirs. And that kind of love, it won't grow in isolation. It grows by living our real faith in real relationships. We learn it by practicing it with others. Other brothers and sisters in Christ is a great place to start, because if you can't do it inside these walls, you're definitely not going to do it outside these walls. So that's why the second core value that we want to hit with loving others is called find your people. And we've said it this way: find your people, because faith isn't solo. It wasn't meant to be lived alone. It cannot be lived alone. We need shared tables, shared lives, and shared mission. And our small groups here are where we learn how to love others. They're where God fills you with his love and teaches you to overflow. And as you're part of a small group at Faithy, I can guarantee you three things: that people will encourage you, people will challenge you, and people will get on your nerves. But God will use all of those things to make your love look a lot more like Jesus's. The problem is our culture is radically individualistic. It's telling us a different story. It tells us that me, myself, and I is the Holy Trinity at which we're to worship. I want to tell you that's not biblical. The culture encourages us to have what I call a little Caesar's pizza kind of faith. It's hot and ready, but has questionable nutritional value. And just like Little Caesar's pizza, it's bad for the body. The Apostle Paul actually says it this way as he's talking about the body, that's the church. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have all the same functions, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. So if we only hang out with other arms, or we only hang out with other legs or other hands or other feet or introverts or extroverts or old or young, we are going to be incomplete. Because if you only ever hang out with the people who are exactly like you, you're only gonna learn how to love yourself. You're never gonna learn how to love others, and you're certainly not gonna learn how to love those who are hard to love. See, at Faithy, we wanna make a big shift. We want to be a church, not a church with small groups, but a church of small groups. And we kicked that off this summer as we piloted a program called Tables of Three, and about 117 people participated in those tables. And those were just conversations around a shared table, shared lives, shared mission, as find your people in action. And they got together, three couples or six individuals or a combination of the two, and they simply ate together, and they shared stories, you know, their past and how God has redeemed that and how God's still writing their story. They shared real faith together. And then they ate together and they prayed for one another, and God did some amazing things. And it's really cool before and after the service and during the meet and greet time to see people who didn't know each other at all of a sudden have a name with a face. You moved from strangers to friends, and I want to thank everybody who hosted a table for that. You'll never know what kind of an impact you had in your neighbor here at Faith E by participating in that program. And we want to continue that momentum into this next fall. And so that's why on September 7th, we're going to host a small group fair in our lobby. So I'd encourage you to write that date on your calendar, September 7th. It's coming up. It's going to be in our lobby, and it's going to be a perfect time to get into a small group. And each of the four types of groups are going to be out there, and you can see leaders, you can see their faces, you can see the studies that they're going to do, the books of the Bible. You can just meet them, see if it's a good fit based on your personality or your age and stage. And we're going to move into this rhythm. It's a trimester model of fall groups, spring groups, summer groups. And they're basically 3 months. And groups will meet beyond these three-month semesters, but this just gives both our leaders and our participants really great starting and stopping points. So if something isn't a good fit, you're allowed to jump into a new group. So it's not a lifetime commitment for you or for the people leading the groups. And some small group leaders, they can only lead for the fall, and they're going to have a crazy spring, or maybe they go, you know, for the winter, they fly south, right, just like the geese. And they go south for the winter, or maybe they can just lead a summer group, and we want to give you that option as well. So whatever your schedule is, we want to make a group that you can participate in or you can lead. So we will have a group for every age and stage. I'm just going to break down a couple of how that plays out maybe for you. So if you are over the age of 26 in this room and you're single, we'd encourage you to get involved in a men's or a women's group. And if you're a couple and you don't want to attend a group together for some reason, maybe you have different schedules, different needs, you want to do a different study, jump into one of those men's or women's group. There's going to be a whole bunch of options. And maybe if you are a couple and you want to attend together, we are going to match you up with other married couples who are at a similar age and stage as you are. And if you're a young adult in the age group from 18 to 25, maybe you're going to college, maybe you are starting your career, or maybe you're just chilling in your mom's basement. I want to encourage you to get into one of our young adult small groups this fall. So I want to ask you two questions around groups. Consider, is God asking you to join a group? Is God telling you right now that it's high time that you stop to be an anonymous at Faith E and get plugged into a group and find your people? Is he asking you to join a group? And the second question is this. Is God telling you to lead a group this morning? Is this your time? If not now, then when? And we have many new people putting their faith in Christ for the very first time here at Faith E. And that's such a privilege. It's such an honor. But we have to steward that well. We are called to disciple them. I'd encourage you that many of you are where they are now. And we have a lot of people who are joining Faith E for the first time. They're just new to the body. Many of you were once new to Faith E. I was once new to Faith E. Pastor Steve was also once new to Faith E. Who will disciple them? Will you answer the call? Will you answer the call? And if you've never led a group or you don't know what to study, or you don't know where you're going to find the time, I wouldn't let any of those questions be a barrier for you. I would love to walk into those questions with you, alongside of you. There's training, there's studies. We even have small group coaches who will stand beside you and behind you every step of the way. There is no excuse not to lead if that's what God is asking you to do. And that's exactly what I would like to ask you to consider, is I don't want you hearing me asking you to do anything. I want you to ask God if you should do something. So should you jump in and participate in a group and find your people this semester? Or should you volunteer, raise your hand and say, send me, I'm ready to lead. And I'll help you walk into that as well. So is God whispering to you, are you too comfortable? Maybe he's whispering, quit being anonymous. Or start loving people who are hard to love, because you're going to learn how to do that when you join a small group. Or maybe he's telling you it's time for your love to overflow into the lives of the neighbors who are right around you here at Faithy. So should you be in a group? Should you lead a group? Either way, you can just go to the website, go to Next Steps, select group. You can choose either option there. Or you can email me, matt@faithy.org, or I'll hang out after the service. You can come up and we just have a conversation right here, right now after the service. I would love to have that conversation with what that would look like, whether you want to be in a group or whether you should lead a group. So there are three challenges I would like you to consider this week for all of us. So the three challenges are this. The first one is love one difficult person on purpose. And if you don't know any difficult people, maybe that's you. And maybe you need to start there. You need to take on the yoke of Jesus and let his love cover a multitude of sins in your life. But I'd encourage you to love one difficult person on purpose this week. And two, ask God about groups and then do what he says. Do whatever he tells you. Do it. And three, I want to keep encouraging you to pray for reaching one more. Pastor Paul started this challenge last week. We're going to talk about it more in depth next week. But reach one more, someone who's far from God but close to you. Be praying for that person this next week. Remember, whatever has filled your life will flow out of your life. What's going to spill out when people bump into you this next week? So we want to create space here this morning through communion. So if you came in and you grabbed the communion cups on your way in, that's great. If you forgot to, or if you passed by them somehow, there's ushers that'll come forward and they're happy to hand them out to you. So if that's you, if you still need communion at your seat, just raise your hand and somebody will bring it to you. And I'll actually need a set up here, so I'm raising my hand. And communion is a time for us just to remember what God has done, the love that's poured out in our lives, covering a multitude of sins for us. And it's also a time to let that love motivate us to love others, even people who are hard to love, because that's when that horizontal love really becomes radical. So maybe take a moment right at your seat. I just pray between you and God, prepare yourself to take communion. And is there sin in your life that you need to put on the yoke of Jesus? You need to let his love cover it. And you've been holding on to it for a long time. Hold that in your hands open before God. Let his love cover it. You know, maybe he brought somebody to mind who is hard to love, who you've been avoiding, who you crossed the street to the other side, who you have been too busy to engage to make a difference in their life. Maybe just offer a quick prayer up for an opportunity to share his love with them soon. And commit, when you're in the presence of God, commit to reaching out to them. Be filled with the love of God, and may that love pour out of your life into those around you. And Jesus, during the Passover on the night that he was to be betrayed, he was hanging out with his people. He had found his people. He called them. He said, "This is my body broken for you. Take, eat in remembrance of me." Let's eat together. And after supper, he took the cup and he said, "This is my blood." And that blood that covers over a multitude of sins like we've been talking about. Shed for you. It's a new covenant. A new covenant in his blood. Take and drink in remembrance of me. Drink. Father God, thank you again for drawing us to you, for allowing us to experience your love. Help us not to take that for granted. God, and if we've stopped the flow that your fount has started in our lives, I pray that you would just pinpoint that for us this morning, and maybe you've already been speaking. Maybe we've bottled up the flow. Maybe we've dammed up your love in our lives. I pray that you'd break through that this morning. The love and the forgiveness that we experience through you, help us to extend that to others in our life, especially if those neighbors are hard to love. Help us to have a radical love. Help us to have a radical love. And we pray this in your Son's name. Amen. And the worship team is going to lead us in one more song. And I just encourage you to take some time and maybe rest before God and maybe sing along, but be reminded of the blood that was shed for you, the love that was brought for you. You know, maybe you walked in here today and you let a whole bunch of other things try to fill your cup. And now you're sitting there with an empty cup, and maybe you've never experienced the love of God in your life before. I'd encourage you, and just in this moment, let his love cover a multitude of sins in your life. He offers it for each one of us, not just filled to the rim, but overflowing all the way to the cross. His love covers a multitude of sins in your life if you just ask him to. So if that's you, if you had an empty cup, if you need to be filled with God's love, ask his love to cover that multitude of sins, those many sins in your life. You know, let that radically change your response to sin. Bring it out into the light. Quit hiding it in the dark. Put on the yoke of Jesus, his yoke of love. Let that be the change maker, the difference between heaven and hell. Love makes the difference. Allow it to make a difference in your life. And let that fount spring up in your life so that it overflows into the lives of those around you. So if you made that decision today, if you were in your seat, you're like, yeah, that's me. I'd encourage you to come up and talk to a pastor after the service or one of the prayer team. They would love to pray with you. We'd love to stand beside you and behind you. And if you want more resources, I would take that Connect card out of the seat back in front of you and just say, hey, I decided to follow Jesus this morning. Because we would love to connect with you this next week and give you resources to help you fill your cup until it overflows. And we have mentors who will stand beside you and help disciple you. So take that step. If you're here and you just asked for a refilling of your cup, I just want to pray a benediction over you this morning. It's from Ephesians chapter 4. So receive this benediction as you ask God to refill your cup this morning. Paul says, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. That's what we've been talking about today. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love, even with those who are hard to love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. Remember when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all in all. May the love of God spill into the lives of those who bump into you this next week. And maybe that'll start right after the services this evening at the Mega Block Party. So it's a fun event to attend, but what could God do through your life as people encounter you and bump into you, and the love of God, the radical love of God, spills out of your life into theirs? What could God do through that? That's the real vision behind the Mega Block Party. An opportunity that we have is to pray for Megan Coles. She's a member here at Faith E. She's been helping out with the host team in the mornings out there. Many of you probably know her. We're going to meet up here after the service to pray for her. She's actually going to Hope of Africa, one of our partners. She's going over there for 3 months to help them out. So we're going to pray over her and commission her. And we're going to stand beside her. It's going to be a privilege to pray for her and send her well. And if you could use prayer for absolutely anything, there's going to be a prayer team over here who can pray over just a multitude of sins. And whatever you need, bring what you've got. They'll help you pray for it. They'd love to disciple you in prayer. We're always praying here. Prayer is powerful. That's why we do it.